It's time to grab your book
and your nipples.
Snatch 22 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Snatch 22 Podcast, where we read and rail on ridiculous erotica. I'm Croy.
And I'm Tatiana.
And guess what?
What?
This is a shot at redemption. Today's all about redemption.
Bigfoot.
I'm seduced by Bigfoot Sasquatch Yeti.
If anyone, it's Croy, absolutely.
Also, there's a cat running around. Just don't even.
Usually put her in my room.
We're just sitting on the floor and it's so comfy.
So comfortable. So she is a part of the podcast today. Welcome, Evelyn.
Evelyn. For those who are under the impression that we record in a studio, not a chance. This is the living room floor. There's lint in my anus.
I think it's endearing, right?
Yeah. It shows you can go from rags to better rags in a blink of an eye.
Yeah. You mean on the rag? Anyway.
It does smell like period. I don't know.
Stop saying that. I don't know what you mean.
Our house, maybe not our house. My trash can smells like period, and I'm aware, and I'm concerned.
Our fridge definitely smells like period.
Our fridge smells like rotten lettuce or some kind of crazy ethnic food that's like hanging around.
Oh, I hate it.
Some shawarma.
At this point, it's not only my problem. So it's like I don't want to be the. I don't want to take one for the team.
Are those Minnie Mouse ears laying around?
I don't know where they went.
I might have worn those into my bed. Tatiana is wearing a most beautiful set of peeps on her head. And today we were just going to wear silly things on our head just because sometimes you need to pick me up. No. If we're not going to get up off the floor and put your cat away, the fucking noise making his foot biting his rat on the planet, like I'm not going to go find Minnie Mouse ears.
Foot biting rat.
Well, I'll be. Let's have a foot bite off. Yee-hoo!
Your sandy cheeks good.
Well, howdy, Squidward.
So unbelievably talented.
I guess.
Anyway, redemption for the Bigfoots. Its last one was rapey.
Yes. And by last one, we mean last three. Episodes 1 through 3. It's an interesting story. I'm going to give you the long and short of it.
But you should definitely go back and listen to it. And listen to all the ones if you're not up to date.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of Snatch 22 Podcast, it's pretty great, guys. Started episode 1, Epi 1.
Aw.
Whatever. We've come so far.
So far.
We went from recording on a nice table to sitting on a floor.
Yeah, really going places.
But anyway, the first book that we ever read was called Come for Bigfoot, which it was my idea. And I dragged these poor ladies into it and was like, fuck yeah, we're going to read this nightmare.
Corey loves Bigfoot in general.
Like, I do love Bigfoot. Always,
has, like, she's got a few shirts and
I do. Stuff. I have a shirt that says Gone Squatching.
It's embarrassing.
Is it though?
I know. It's great.
So we all agreed on reading Come for Bigfoot, and I thought volumes 1, 2, and 3 were going to be arcs, or like continuations, maybe like how you read a comic series, and then the volume 1, there's a great cliffhanger, and the da-da-da. It just turns out it was 3 back-to-back unbridled books, which starts out as rape, and then is very quickly developed into Stockholm Syndrome.
It's real rough.
And yeah, it's all at the expense of Bigfoot, whose name is Leonard. Leonard will always
would
be our
name
guy.
It. We've actually had a few Leonards in the
podcast. Yeah. And now we have Leonard Delaney, the writer.
Yeah, right?
Fuck
isn't
yeah.
A cat's name was Leonard in this, and then the vampire hunter's name was Leonard.
Oh, man. So, a surprising amount of men with one of the least sexy names on the planet. Sorry for all you Leonards out there. I'm not personally feeling it. Maybe if you went by Len.
No, Leo.
Isn't that Leonard? Leonard. Oh,
yeah. Usually,
like a Leo.
Isn't Leonard usually spelled L-E-O-N-A-R-D?
Yeah, you're
Leonard?
Right. You're
so,
absolutely right.
So the short would be Leo.
It could be Leo, sexy. Len, or Nard, like the Nard dog.
Nard dog. Well, if anyone ever watched Charmed, the Charmed, which I'm just not even stoked about the new one coming out. I don't know. I'm really stuck.
I hear mixed thoughts.
I'm sure it's fine. Well, it's on CW and now, like, the CW now is, you know, pretty tragic. But anyway.
But except for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I do love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That is the truth. Leo was like Piper's beau. He was a white lighter. He was hot. He was a hottie.
A little hottie.
I was into it. And then I had, oh God, this is really embarrassing. I had, I used to collect dolls when I was really young.
Like porcelain dolls or Barbie dolls or any dolls?
No, they were like baby dolls.
Oh.
Because I went through a phase where I liked taking care of baby dolls.
Literally every tiny human female is like molded to do that. So don't feel bad.
I got like really expensive ones. and
like Madame Alexander's.
I don't know what that means.
Madame Alexander are like $200 baby dolls.
You know, I don't know if it was that bad. You have to ask my mom because I absolutely was not fronting the money for that. I was, you know, I just did not.
Ma, my side gig's not paying up.
Yeah, mom, the union, you know, womp, womp, womp.
Can you get me potty dotty and maybe baby born?
Mom. So I don't know what they were, but I had some really beautiful dolls that, oh my God, one of the dolls. Do you remember that short film we did?
Which one?
Atom Bomb.
Yeah, Atom Bomb.
Atom Bomb, where I was the grocery store mom.
Yes.
That baby that gets hurled into a car door, that's my baby. That was Leo.
Oh, my
God. It's all coming together.
Wow. This is history. I learn more about you every day.
I love you.
My wife.
My wife.
My queen.
My wife. My true love.
It's one of the saddest moments in 300. It's so magical.
Oh, that strong man.
Yeah, strong man. Strong woman. Just wanting his wife. It's like, oh, God.
I'm drunk. It's God. Fine. Everyone's fine. Everyone's doing great. We should read this book.
Oh, God. It smells like period. All right. So.
Get out.
Last week, we were seduced and tantalized by the wonderful Chuck Tingle with his jet book, I'm Gay for My Living Billionaire Jet Plane. And we decided, fuck it. We're not switching up authors this week. We love Chuck Tingle. He consistently puts out amazing, ridiculous things, usually about shit getting pounded in the butt. But this one. In our redemption episode, to bring our sweet Bigfoot back into good graces, Seduced by Dr. Bigfoot, Attorney at Large, by Chuck Tingle.
At large.
And we'll be doing a live reading because you're welcome. All right. Would you like to get us started?
I would love to.
I can't wait to see what voice they have.
How's it going in here? My boss, Ken Yonks, asks. Get real. Pushing through the door of the conference room, I can already tell that he's got some bad news for me. Yet another unfortunate addition to the string of bad luck that has plagued this case since it was assigned to me a few months back.
Exposition.
But I'm into it, actually. Yeah. It's good, man. It's good. I think I'm ready. I tell him that's him. I'm confused about which voices I'm doing, but that's fine. We'll find it. We'll find it, guys. I tell him with as much confidence as I can muster. You think? My boss says, clearly put off by my lackluster response. You're the best lawyer that we've got at this firm, and you're telling me that you think you're ready?
Damn, B.
I know I'm ready. I correct myself. But this case has been driving me crazy. Ken takes in a deep breath, as if he's trying to retain every last second that he can before telling me whatever bad news is tucked away in that folder that he carries. You're not ready, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Okay, so we've got to read it like Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, no.
Come on, please.
Wait, so the boss?
Come on, please.
Oh, no, no. Oh, so he's Tommy Wiseau.
So Mark is the Bigfoot, right?
I don't know. I don't think either. I don't know who's a Bigfoot
right
now.
You're not ready, Mark. Yeah.
What is it now, I say? You know I'm not great at the Tommy Wiseau voice.
We'll try.
We'll try our best.
Trumps were embarrassing.
Oh, that's very true. Right. But you're so good at Tommy Wiseau.
How's your sex life?
Okay. What is it now? I say it's going to turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger. I just know it. Opposing law firm has thrown everything that they've got at us in effort to protect their clients. Accusations of misconduct, motion to change the venue, the whole nine yards. With the opening statements less than 24 hours away, it's no wonder they've decided to pull out one last trick play. Probably just to fuck with us.
Damn.
Now we pray, says Ken. There is a deep seriousness on his face now that nearly stops me in my tracks. Oh, that's supposed to be Tommy, but he's not actually speaking, so give me a break. And the second I see his expression shift, I realize that the other side is probably already won. Oh, Lisa, hi, Mark. Did they bring in Narth Bolgok? I'm so sorry.
Bolgok, that's got to be an anagram for something.
I don't know. We'll have to look it up. I ask, fearful of Ken's impending response. My boss nods slowly. The two of us sit in silence for a moment before I suddenly slam my hands down onto the conference room table and throw the statements I've been memorizing across the room. Fuck!
Fuck!
I exclaim in the moment of pure unfiltered frustration. Narth Bolgok, I'm sorry, is the best lawyer this town has ever known. But really, that description only begins to scratch the surface. Nart is a Bigfoot. Okay, so Nart is the Bigfoot. Mark is a person.
Nart is a bit. Damn it! Fine. All right.
Okay. Who wandered out of the woods as a tender age of 21 and immediately passed the bar like he was reciting the alphabet. Completely self-taught. You can't know that. That's not like a prodigy thing.
Well,
you know
maybe he studied in the woods with Portia.
I can't.
Portia had to bring something to the table pizza.
You know what? It's actually kind of possible because we're not saying this is Leonard. He could have been one of the tribesmen, so hopefully he's just as rapey. I don't mean that.
Maybe he was the one sensitive one in the village who's like, guys, maybe we should ask for consent.
Like,
like the Kai Smy, the Bigfoot.
Oh, Kai Smy.
If you're listening, homie, we love you, Harry Soulman.
Hi, Kai Smy. Mm. Oh, he started taking on cases immediately and soon became the most sought-after lawyer in recent memory.
Wow.
Boasting an impressively flawless record by never losing a single case.
Ah, first typo. It says loosing.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, okay.
Never loosing a single case.
I always try not to loose my cases. it's now 5 years later, and the majestic creature is still never lost, including several cases that were considered unwinnable.
There's another one. It says that we're instead of that were. Like the possessive. Yeah, you're totally right. There's several cases that we are considering.
I'm just so used to seeing bad grammar and stuff that I'm like, this is what they mean.
Yeah, blasting through it.
Exactly.
God help us.
Unwinnable, which I don't think is a word, but maybe, by almost everyone involved. Of course, it doesn't stop there. In the meantime, Nart somehow became all enough versed in both heart and brain surgery. Get out of here. To become a respected doctor who spends his days in the courtroom and his nights in the emergency room, saving lives any way that he can.
Mm.
I've personally never met Nark Bolgok.
Oh.
But I've certainly heard stories. Mm. It's said that once the monster showed up to the most popular downtown nightclub and picked up everyone's tab for the whole evening, then led an impromptu dance-off, which Nart won, without much contest. Either due to his incredible salsa dancing skills, picked up during the summer overseas in the heart of Spain. It's so stupid. Rumor has it that he left that night with a supermodel on each arm.
Uh-oh, so he's a little shallow. Or maybe he just found out that he's hot.
Maybe. It happens, man. Maybe he doesn't have the inner fat kid.
Oh, you know, nope. Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll say he's not a skis. We'll assume that maybe he's
saving lives.
He's saving lives.
He's dating hotties.
Well, I mean, if you're like, bitches, like, yeah, link up, bitches.
Link up.
Maybe they both were, like, carrying him away, and it looked like he was walking.
Maybe he was drunk. He had too much to drink. Maybe they were, like, what is it, something at Bernie's?
Or maybe he had consensually requested a threesome from both of them, and they both agreed, saying they'd always wanted to experiment.
Consensually, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. That's it. That's what that is. Man, threesomes sound like a fucking nightmare. It's so much work.
Oh, so much work.
Well, it's like hard enough when you're having sex. It's like, I'm so focused on you that I can't imagine not only watching somebody else do you and be like, well, what am I supposed to do? But then also be like, but wait a minute, I really like you and I'm kind of not cool with that guy. I'm like, but wait a minute, I don't know. All my holes are filled and I'm confused.
All my holes are filled. Except for the one in my heart.
Aww.
There we go. Which leads us to the real reason that Nart Bolgok rubs me the wrong way. Despite all of his help to the community and his admirable skills as an attorney, I've had it on good authority from more than one trusted source that Nart is as gay as they come.
Oh.
Being an openly gay man myself and plugged deep into the queer community here in New York City. Plugged deep. I have more than one friend who has had a fling with the charismatic lawyer doctor. Get out. Yet for all the good it would do for the gay community, Nart refuses to come out of the closet.
Oh. Okay, I was just thinking, like, well, why the supermodels then? But he's...
It's a cover.
Ooh. Saving face. Oh, man.
Of course, this is a lot to sum up in one simple response to Ken. So instead I offer simply, I fucking hate that guy. That was so bad. I'm so sorry.
Don't you dare apologize.
Don't we all, says Ken. That's not going to help us win this case. You're going to need to knock your opening argument out of the water tomorrow morning. I know. I say, not in affirmation. I'm sure you're aware that Nark Bolgok. Oh, they actually
they spelled his name wrong.
That's so funny. Has never lost. Ken says, a question wrapped within a statement that simply lingers in the air. Hanging above us is like a giant anvil waiting to drop. I know. I repeat, the anxiety growing within me. Would you like to?
Sure.
I can take it back over later too.
Is Ken the Tommy Wiseau?
No, Marcus.
Marcus. Okay.
Mark.
All right. Alrighty then, Ken says, rapping his knuckles on the hard oak conference table. Go get him, Mark. With that, my boss leaves the room. I sit in absolute silence, waiting until he's gone before lowering my head down into my hands. It's going to be a long night. 10 minutes until opening arguments and the opposition's lawyer, the infamous Nart Bolgok, has yet to arrive. As unprofessional as this seems, I'm not at all surprised thanks to the monster's notorious flair for big entrances and passionate outbursts. I look down at my watch. And no sooner have I lifted my head does Nart come bursting through the courtroom door in all of his glory. A large, imposing Bigfoot wearing nothing but emergency room scrubs on the bottom and a medical facial mask covering his mouth. He is shirtless, showing off his ripped Bigfoot abs with his stethoscope hanging proudly around his neck, a subtle way of showing off the fact that he is, in fact, a doctor as well as an attorney. I love Chuck Tingle's thing with abs.
So funny. He's an ab guy.
He's an ab guy. Aren't we all?
Yeah, sure.
The entire crowd of onlookers seated behind us in the courtroom burst into a frenzy of excited whispers, trying to keep the volume below a hushed chatter, but failing miserably. Failing. Soon their prattle reaches a low roar, and the judge is forced to bang his gavel loudly, calling out for order in the courtroom. I glance over at Nart, but he doesn't even return the gaze, acting as though I'm not even here in the same room with him. Bitch. I immediately see what everyone finds so appearing. Appealing?
It, appealing, absolutely.
All right, Chuck. Last one didn't have that many typos. I don't think it had any.
I know, right? I think we noted that in the last episode.
Chuck's drunk. It's fine.
He's beautiful. It's fine.
Not only is he incredibly smart, both a lawyer and a doctor, but the Bigfoot carries himself with a rugged confidence that can only be found in the most suave of characters. That doesn't sound really sexy. It's as though the world must answer to him, not the other way around, and Nart knows it. He wields his power of social dominance like a great sword, and we are lucky to be within his presence just long enough to bow down to
it. Is that how you spell wield?
Wield? Yeah, I before E.
Oh, I thought it was the other way. All right,
we were. No, I before E, except after C. Now that all parties have arrived, are you ready to make your opening statement? The judge asks me. I nod and stand up from my desk, sorting through a few notes before laying them back down on the table in an orderly stack. Yes, Your Honor. I say, stepping out into the front of the courtroom and turning towards the jury. I begin my opening statement. My name is Mark Tucker, and over the next few weeks, I'm going to be explaining to you a few. Suddenly, I trail off, the words stumbling out of my mouth and then disappearing into nothingness. My gaze has somehow drifted onto a shiny brass post that sits on the corner of the jury box. And within its reflection, I can see the image of Nart sitting behind me, leaning back coolly in his chair as he watches the proceedings. There's something about him that is just so effortless, so sexy, that it immediately takes my breath away. Mr. Tucker! Mr. Tucker! The judge repeats until finally nabbing my attention. Mark Tucker! I turn to him immediately. Oh, yes? I ask. You were just about to begin your opening arguments? I assume you've prepared more than just half of that sentence, he asks mockingly. Oh, yes, I say, straightening myself out and collecting my thoughts. I glance over at my boss, Ken, who's sitting in the front row with a look of utter horror plastered across his face. I clear my throat. My name is Mark, I begin again, still a little shaken. My name is Mark Tucker, and I'm here... I lose track of the syllables again as I notice an amused smirk across Nart's face and his reflection on the brass post. Now I freeze up completely, not saying a word. Fucking Chuck! Oh my god!
I'm drunk.
Not saying a word as my mind is overwhelmed with thoughts of bewilderment at just how sexy this Bigfoot doctor lawyer is. The entire courtroom begins to murmur in confusion, trying to figure out exactly what's happening. Even I barely know the answer to that. I'm sorry. I finally profess, turning around. I can just imagine him in his fucking suit jacket and cargo pants, his glasses, his head tilted back to like,
his 19 belts.
Yeah, holding that sloppy spaghetti ass up. Turning around and heading past my desk, then out of the courtroom with my head staring directly at the floor, I can hear the judge banging his gavel once again, demanding that the crowd remain orderly despite this completely absurd situation. I push through the large double doors and out into the hallway. Leaving my life as a lawyer behind me forever. Or so I thought. The bar is almost entirely empty at this point, but the woman behind the counter is kind enough to keep bringing me beers. The television has been playing footage of my dramatic exit from City Hall all morning, along with news of a mistrial, but it doesn't seem like the bartender recognizes me. She's just a kind soul who recognizes when the only cure for sorrow is a stiff drink. Ba-da-da-da-da-ba-ba. Not a dick.
Does help.
I've been here for hours. Oh, he's not even talking. I've been here for hours now. Longer than even seems possible, really. I've seen 5 or 6 waves of customers come and go at this point. From the afternoon lunch crowd to the dinner rush, and then the late night party scene. Now it's just me and a few other very sad patrons, ships in the night who've decided to give each other some space to wallow in our own separate sadness. I'm staring down at the bar in front of me, considering another shot when I see the door open from across the room, a movement just barely within my peripheral vision. I don't even need to turn my head to see who it is. I can simply sense the presence of Nart, who seems to be physically exuding the intense, feverish charm of both a doctor and a lawyer wherever he goes. God, I can feel the hair on the back of my neck. God, the typos are killing me. I can feel the hair on the back on my neck, standing on edge, ons, as he approaches, my heart kicking into double time, my thoughts pleading over and over again that he will simply walk on by and not even notice me.
You don't really want that, Mark. Don't lie to us.
But of course, that's not what happens. Take it away, baby girl.
I can hear the chair slide out next to me, and the large creature take a seat. An old-fashioned, Nart tells the bartender.
Okay, I'm in. Who are we casting? What sexy British man are we casting?
Oh, is he supposed to be British? I forgot.
No. It just sounded like an old-fashioned.
I was almost doing, I don't know.
Sean Connery?
I was almost kind of doing a Sean Connery.
Sean Connery it is. Welcome to Bigfoot, Sean Connery.
Welcome to Bigfoot.
So that means Sean Connery and Tommy Wiseau are going to get gruesome. Hopefully
this
consensually.
Is disgusting.
I like it. Standing by.
The woman quickly starts to mix Nott's drink, her gaze unwavering as she stares at the incredible beast. Hell of a day, Nott says, almost to himself. I sit in silence. Your boss, Ken, the Bigfoot continues, he told me you'd be in here. What do you want? I finally snap, sounding more aggressive than I truly feel. Deep within, there is a strange yearning to be near this creature. Still, but it's conflicted feeling, full of turmoil and apprehension. This Bigfoot just ruined my life. But he's so damn charming that I can't stay mad at him.
Okay.
That's him. I wanted to see how you were doing. That was quite a show you put on there today. Nart says, placing a warm hand on my shoulder. His touch sends a chill down my spine, and almost immediately I can feel my cock growing harder with my pants.
Ugh, what is it like?
What is it like?
Have a cock growing your pants? What is it like?
What is it like? Tell me the truth. I glance over... And him. God, save them.
Chuck!
I glance over at him, and when our eyes meet, there's an instant electricity between us that cannot be denied. Mm. I know. I admit, I don't know what happened. Nart smiles warmly. It happens to the best of us, he tells me, even if I get cold feet sometimes. The sensitive admission from such an incredible and powerful beast makes me swoon with gay desire. Not any desire, gay desire.
Yeah.
He's got me right in the palm of his hand now. Melty. I guess there's something was distracting me.
Whoa.
I'm really sorry. I tell him, giving as much weight to the words as I can. Something that I just couldn't ignore. Nart chuckles to himself. You don't need to talk in code. I know the effect that I have on some people.
A little pompous.
It's powerful. I say, but I guess that's what you get when you cross a doctor with a lawyer. I notice now that Nart is carrying both his stethoscope and a stack of law books, tools of the trade. Like, at all times, he always is wearing a stethoscope.
I will be shirtless with a necktie and a briefcase, but still in bottom scrubs and a mouth guard.
I need it, like a
fucking just stack of paperwork.
I wanted to have like one of those masks on.
Yeah.
So funny.
Or like down around his neck, like he just gave some bad news and had to do the head shake.
Yeah, oh, so funny. Yeah, he's all the stereotypes.
Mm.
I suppose you're right, Nart says, his drink arriving. He takes a long sip and then sets the glass back down onto the bar. I'd really love to take you back to my place and fuck your brains out.
Whoa!
Nart tells me bluntly, what the fuck?
All right.
What?
All right, we already established you got a boner, so that's consensual so far.
No, yeah, he's definitely into it.
Good.
Well, I ask, knowing full well that I heard him correctly, but my brain now My brain now quite allowing me to process the information. God, the freaking typos. You heard me. The Bigfoot doctor lawyer says, staring straight ahead with the casual grace and swagger. I'd love to take you back to my place and fuck your brains out. What do you say?
I was hoping you would do that inflection. What do you say?
Oh, good. Thank you. You know me all too well. You know my inflections. Just moments before, I had been cursing this monster's name, telling myself that I would do anything I could to make him look as much of a fool as he did me. Now I was considering making love to him. It doesn't sound like he wants to make love to you, homie. It sounds like he wants to fuck you.
Yeah, he wants to rip your hole.
Whoa. Yeah. Let's be honest, though. There's a very little consideration taking place here. I already know that I want to fuck this Bigfoot and fuck him hard.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. I say, pounding the chair, the rest of my drink and standing up from my chair. I grab my coat and follow Nard as he leads the way out onto the darkened street. Where a chauffeur is waiting for us in the discreet black car. I want to take it away.
We climb in.
Take us home,
Nart tells the driver. Nart Bogok's Manhattan apartment is just as luxurious as you'd expect. And as I gaze out across the sparkling lights of the city from 72 floors up, I can't help but feel something more than lust creeping up from deep inside of me. Could it be love?
How? What is with people thinking that they love people? Like, it takes
like
time.
Like, right off the bat? I don't know. Movies?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I definitely believe in, like, infatuation and, like...
Lust at first sight.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you could, like, feel a connection. It's weird. But I definitely don't think... That kind of real, genuine love, I think, takes
No, like, time the kind of care. Love where if somebody is, like, broke and sick and having a bad day that you're not just gonna fucking peace out.
Literally me. Every minute.
You are Bigfoot. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Could it be love? I'm not sure, but the more I get to know this majestic creature.
In the last 3 seconds when he asked you to, that, hey, how are you doing? And let's fuck your brains out. Like, yeah. What have you learned?
From the moment my cock swelled, I knew.
Deep within my pants.
The more I start to think that the two of us have more going on than just a wild one-night stand. We got a stage 5 clinger, y'all.
Code red.
Come here. Nart says smoothly from the darkness behind me. Oh, boy. I turn and let my gaze come to rest on his massive, muscular form as it crosses the room towards me with a confident stride. The creature is completely naked, an incredible specimen of Bigfoot perfection, and surrounded by the trappings of luxury at its peak, as only a lawyer and a doctor combined could afford.
Gross.
His cock is utterly enormous, jutting off of his body towards me like a thick flesh arrow.
Ew, get real.
The way that they describe Leonard's penis was like a man's arm with a tennis ball at the tip.
I do recall.
But foamy, right? It was all
spongy.
Like spongy exterior so that it could like malleably fit inside of your vagina.
Ugh.
I smile, dropping down to my knees with a gigantic row of floor-to-ceiling windows behind me, my mouth watering as Nart crosses his apartment's massive living room. As the monster reaches me, I look up seductively and give him a little wink, then take his massive shaft into my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, we're not wasting any time. The Bigfoot playboy closes his eyes and lets out a low, guttural moan of satisfaction. Toddy, if you would.
Fuck.
Leaning his head back as I get to work, pumping my head slowly up and down the length of his hard rod. I pull him out for a moment and lick his hairy Bigfoot shaft from base to tip, then take him down again.
Is the whole thing hairy? Because that's unfortunate.
Ew, like hair. Oh, how do you even get sperm out? It would just all mat at the top.
Oh, God.
He's got dick dreads. I know it.
Ugh, no thanks.
Cradling the creature's balls for some added flair.
Flair?
God damn, that's so fucking good. Nart moans, placing his hands on the back of my head and using them to guide me up and down, gaining speed as he goes. Eventually, I find myself working the beast shaft like a jackhammer, pumping with everything I've got while his thickness tests the limits of my lips. Whoa.
Christ.
Of course, being in the presence of such a distinguished Bigfoot, I want to impress him with more than just the width I can handle. With that in mind, I collect my senses and moments later, push Nart's Bigfoot dick as deep as it can go into my throat. I can feel him press up against my gag reflex briefly, but somehow I managed to relax and let him pass. My face is now pressed hard against the Bigfoot's ripped abs while his balls hang tight on my chin. Ooh, I can't even imagine, like, the profile view of that. Like, every cartoon ever of some guy getting his head dragged on, like, a washboard. Like, why? There's a kitty on the computer.
Hi, baby.
Hey, Ma.
Hi, baby.
That's the kitty's voice.
Hi.
Hey, Mama. You weeding some trash, huh?
Yeah, you know I love it.
Yeah. Oh, have a bite, baby girl.
Get out of here.
All right. See you later, babes. Babarines.
Babaroonies.
Let's see where we... Oh, goddamn, it's so fucking good. Let me see my lips. Oh, good. Look at that. She changed the page, Evelyn. Balls, abs. Got it. I look up at him, my eyes watering, and he looks down at me, our gaze locked in a brief moment of passionate domination and submission. Nart and I stay like this for a while, with the monster's dick planted firmly within the dark recesses of my throat, until I'm seconds from running out of air. Oh my god, and Nart finally lets me up. That's terrifying. Scary.
This sounds awful, but I guess he's into it.
Yeah. I gasp frantically, a thick strand of saliva stringing from my lips to the head of his Bigfoot cock. The moment later, I dive back down for more, taking Nart's entirety in yet another expertly performed deep throat. So many of the books that we've read have, like, that one single bead of pre-cum, like, going from the lips to the penis.
Yeah, pre-cum or saliva. Yeah, I think it's, like, supposed to be, like, a, oh, this is gross, and, like, something that can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, added in.
It's gotta be sexy to someone. Right? To me, I'm just like, oh, what a mess.
What a mess!
It's so funny. I can't even believe it. Okay. This time, I give the blowjob even more flair, cradling the creature's balls with my hands and somehow managing to run my tongue along the length of his dick while it fills my mouth. Servicing this powerful beast is turning on... Oh, my God. Jock! Servicing this powerful beast is turning me on so much that I can barely stand it any longer. And moments later, I make the decision to take things to the next level.
Next level?
Next level, yeah. I pull Nart's cock out of my mouth and stand up, turning around so that my hands are pressed up against the window and my muscular toned ass is popped out towards him. I look back over my shoulder, coyly. Do you want to fuck this tight gay human ass? I ask. Stop. Do you want to pound me like the little twink that I am? Fuck yeah. Nart says, slapping one of my ass cheeks hard, and then stepping up behind me with his cock at the ready. Grasping his rod in his hands like some kind of powerful ancient weapon, Nart aligns his length with the rim of my puckered asshole, pushing against it gently as he tests my boundaries. Shove it in, I command, drunk with Bigfoot lust.
Bigfoot lust.
I need you to pound the fuck out of me right now. Go ahead.
Nart immediately pushes forward, and I let out a startled yelp. How does the yelp sound?
A yuck!
Okay, okay. The limit of my butthole stretching to accommodate his enormous size, I brace myself against the window before me. My heart pounding as I look down on the city streets below while Nart slides deeper and deeper into my rectum. Ugh, tough. His shaft feels like a never-ending snake of flesh.
No.
Going on forever and ever until finally Nart reaches the hilt of his enormity.
Wow.
My majestic Bigfoot lover holds me here for a moment, fully impaling me onto his rod while he allows my body to adjust to its incredible size. Fuck, your cock is so huge. I tell him, I don't know if I can take it all. Nart begins to pump in and out of me, taking his time with my maxed out asshole.
Oh, God. So oh, God.
He holds me steady by the hips and plows into my body, finding a rhythm within that grows faster and faster as I loosen up even more until eventually he's slamming me into at a solid pace. The loud, repetitive slap of Nark. Oh, they spelled the name wrong again. This Narks?
Was he goosing on the cops now?
The knock over there. Narts, hanging balls against my backside, resound throughout the apartment, joined shortly by a long, animalistic moan that escapes my lips and hangs in the air.
Oh, Lisa.
Thank you, Corey. That's excellent. That's absolutely excellent.
Thank you.
By now, the pain within my rectum has given way to an intense, fulfilling pleasure. Nart's cock hitting my prostate just right as he thumps against me.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. No, God. My cock is rock hard, and I reach down between my legs, taking it in my hand and helping myself along as I pump my firm grip to the pulse of Nard's ramming from behind. Now the incredible doctor lawyer is absolutely pounding me with everything that he's got, slamming my body hard enough that I'm fearful the glass might just pop out of the window frame and send me hurling to the ground below. What a funny The fear subsides quickly, though, as another feeling takes its place. One of animalistic gay desire. Once again, gay desire. All that I care about in the world right now is being fucked silly by this enormous beast. And safety be damned. That's what I'm gonna do. Suddenly, Nart pulls out of me and spins me around roughly. Get up here. Oh. The beast commands. I wrap my large arms around his neck. And then seconds later, Nart is grabbing me by the thighs, lifting me up so I can hang off of him while he stands facing me. Or is it like he's like he's...
I think they're just making out. Oh, he might take his, you know, he might go up his butt while he's like wrapped around him.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay. I kiss the creature passionately on the mouth before pulling away so that the two of us are gazing into each other's eyes. Wow, how romantic. Nart reaches down and places his cock at the edge of my butthole, then drops me slowly onto his shaft. I let out a hearty groan.
Like a nice soup. Oh. Oh, Mark, Lisa, oh, Denny, oh, no. How was your sex life?
Excellent. Aww. As his girth slipped into my... Okie dokie. Sorry. That was my... Okay, I'm so sorry.
Ooh, if his girth slips into him again, maybe that would be a... You're tearing me apart, Nart!
So funny. It slips into me once again. My reamed asshole only slightly more forgiving against his massive cock in this new position. How does... Sean Harvey. Now take this doctor lawyer dick. My Bigfoot lover commands... hoisting me up and then dropping me down once again over his pole. I'm completely at Nart's whim, his powerful arms controlling every movement that I make. The creature continues to pump me across his rod, the anal violation sending flickers of an impending prostate orgasm out across my body.
Anal violation is one of the worst things we've read ever.
Absolutely, it's top notch. I grip onto his shoulders tightly with one arm and then reach down to grab my dick with the other. I'm gonna come, I stammer. I'm so fucking close. I'm gonna blow my fucking load all over your ripped hairy chest. Do it, Nart commands in his powerful Bigfoot tone. He's throttling my body harder now than anything I've ever experienced, tossed around like some gay human sex doll. Oh, fuck. I start to repeat, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. I start to tremble and shake now, every muscle in my body clenching and seizing as he hammers me until finally I just can't take all the welling sensation and throw my head back with a frantic cry, I'm coming. I give my shaft no more than a single firm pump, and then suddenly it's blasting everywhere, splattering a load of hot, milky spunk across Nart's incredible chest.
No.
1, 2, 3 payloads of jizz eject onto my Bigfoot lover while I shudder and tremble against him, my eyes closed tight and my teeth gritted.
When I open my eyes again, I can tell by Nart's expression that he's just about ready to blow as well. Cover my face, I command. Cover my face with that hot load. Nart sets me down, pulling his cock from my asshole as I lean back on the floor, and he steps over me, frantically beating off in my face. I just imagine
it's
like
the final countdown.
Take a big fat load.
Beautiful.
The majestic creature lets out a primal roar. Toddy.
Oh, yes.
As a torrent of pearly cum rains down.
Pearly.
Ah, they are now in the Umbrella video starring Rihanna and Jay-Z. I smile happily.
Under my cumbrella. Ella, 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 A. Anyway. Come on, give me that. Come on.
I smile happily and open wide, catching as much as I can with my mouth while the rest of his seed dribbles from my chin in white streaks. Oh. Moments later, the monster steps back, collapses onto his couch in complete exhaustion. Complete exhaustion?
Yeah, we're there. I get it.
All right.
So, all right.
I'm taking a shower directly off of Nart's master bedroom when I quietly hear the door creeping open. Nart and I are the only ones here, so I know exactly who it is. But the sound still fills me with a sense of wonder and mystery.
Mind if I join you?
I hear the doctor lawyer say in a low, sultry tone. Hey, it's your apartment. I joke. Come on in. I hope Tommy Wiseau hears this one day. Let's tag him in it.
Let's
tag.
Oh, he'll love it.
Please.
Anything to do with him.
Yes. I love. The shower door opens up and Nart steps inside, where there's now just barely enough room for the two of us.
I have to confess something,
Nark Bulguk informs me, his eyes filled with genuine tension and concern.
What is it?
I ask as my heart thunders within my chest.
I've been a player for a long time now, the Bigfoot admits, but it's only because I've been hurt so many times in the past.
Oh, I understand, I tell the sensitive creature, placing my hand on his chest as a symbol of reassurance. It's all right.
I never thought that I'd be able to love again, says Nart, until tonight.
Wow.
I close my eyes as he says this, the words filling me with almost too much emotion to bear. Nart leans down and gives me a passionate gay kiss. Oh my god, not a gay kiss. Is that just like slowly Frenching an asshole? I thought that was a rim job. Like, what are we calling a gay kiss?
I think he just likes to throw that in there. Like, gay desire is any different than any kind of desire.
Chuck, you're so silly.
What a silly bitch.
Passionate gay kiss, then pulls back and smiles.
I love you.
I love you too, oh,
I tell him. Fast. This is moving very quickly.
And I want to start affirm with you.
Wow, everything's working out so well.
Nart continues. It's almost as when the billionaire jet plane and the businessman went to Vegas together.
It's like, oh wow, don't worry.
Absolutely.
And I want to start affirm with you, Nart continues. Just me and you. Maybe eventually you could be one of my nurses at the hospital too.
Both? I ask.
I want you to be a part of every aspect of my life. Lawyer.
This is embarrassing.
Doctor. Everything.
It's cool that we have 2 stage 5 clingers.
Yeah, they're moving quickly. Nart tells me. I wrap my arms around the massive beast, pulling him close as the warm water continues to rush over us. Yes, I say. Oh, who the fuck am I?
Me.
Yes, I say. Of course, I'll be your law partner and male nurse. I love you, Nart Bulguk. The
Wowie.
Okay, just so that you know, the last few pages of the books are just lists of tinglers. Books by Chuck Tingle. And these are the categories. Dinosaur tinglers, unicorn tinglers, Bigfoot tinglers, living object tinglers,
so
self-help. And there's only one. Oh my god, these are so funny. Anally Ears, the unicorn sailor,
shared by the chocolate milk cowboys. What is it? Me.
Gaged brontosaurus, the butt is not enough.
Glazed by the gay living donuts.
My ass is haunted by the gay unicorn colonel.
That is so funny.
Bigfoot pirate haunts my balls. I want to read that for my birthday.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay.
What else are there? Oh, God, these are incredible. The Glazed by the Gay Living Donuts. I love it. Okay. Reamed by my reaction to the title of this book. That's us right now.
Right now being like, what the fuck?
Pounded in the butt by my book. Pounded in the butt by my own book. Wow. Slammed up the butt by my hot coffee boss. These are incredible. And then a self-help guide to romance. Wait, how many were we read by him now? 3 or 4?
I would never be able to remember that. We already have 2 on here. No, we definitely have more than that.
Okay.
Because we've had we had the Unicorn Butt Cops, and we also read the second one that he did the by my latent gayness.
Oh, pounding the butt by my latent gayness fear or something. Yeah. I just don't think we've ever actually read it. He has like a 1-paragraph bio about Dr. Tingle.
We've definitely read. Oh no, I think we read on whatever J.K. Rowling's.
Yeah. Well, this says about Dr. Tingle. Dr. Chuck Tingle is an erotic author and Taekwondo grandmaster, almost black belt, from Billings, Montana. Oh, no wonder he's writing crazy shit. After receiving his PhD at DeVry University in holistic massage, Chuck found himself fascinated by all things sensual, leading to his creation of The Tingler, a story so blissfully erotic that it cannot be experienced without eliciting a sharp tingle down the spine. Chuck's hobbies include backpacking, checkers, and sport. Fantastique.
Which sports, though? God, what an empty bio!
Oh my god, I just want to know more! Tell me more!
Tell me more, Jersey Red Bill Erotica!
I'm Here's the thing. I'm really glad that this Bigfoot was not only mad sexy, more humanoid, or at least more, like, physically and verbally communicative. Like,
wasn't raping, very emotional. But I will say that I hated that both of them fell so madly in love. And then not only that.
So quickly.
Not only that, but it's like that to in order for them to be happily in love with each other and fast, whatever, that they have to be a part of each thing of their life. Like, you can both have your own careers,
mm-hmm.
your own firms, your own whatever. I mean, I understand with the firm at least, because it's like he basically lost his job.
Yeah.
From fucking up at that last case.
But so being I get the that. Nurse too?
But it's like he has no experience with being a doctor. I'll get you this job because I literally cannot deal with you not being near me for 5 seconds. Like,
we've been speaking a lot about codependency recently, so this is fresh on the mind.
Yeah, it's really fresh. So I feel like it is a problem. It's a problem.
I know it's not his fault, because these are two completely different writers, two different universes and all this, but I'm like, I'm like, fucking women getting raped up and down, and this guy gets to have a sensual love affair with Bigfoot.
I know, but that's also Chuck Tingle.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Chuck Tingle's had any situation where the characters are being raped. Oh, because we also read that other one, too, that,
Was he Billionaire Dinosaurs?
He's absolutely Billionaire Dinosaurs, isn't he?
Well, that one, I will say the boss from Billionaire Dinosaurs and
a little rapey, but
this one, he was very forceful. This one was more relaxed. He was mm-hmm. like really open about what he wanted. But the dinosaur guy like lured him to his house and then was like making him give a voracious blowjob. And then the guy was like, oh, now I'm into it. Yeah, totally, totally. Like, I'm super into it. But it took it took some time. Ugh, I'm just, whatever. I'm thankful that Bigfoot at least... Now he's swinging to men. I'm glad that he has redeemed himself. He was very open with what he wanted. He received it consensually. And you know what? Now he's in love. And now he has lots of words. He has a big old vocabulary. Isn't that fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Fantastic.
All right. So we're thinking that for this week's segment, we'll play a little bit of Would You Rather. We've got a pretty comprehensive list here of some strange things. One of them I can already see and I'm like, well, this is easy. But apparently, we are on the 200-plus would-you-rather questions that will destroy you forever. Let's give it a shot. All right. Would you rather lose your sex organs forever or gain 200 pounds for the rest of your life?
Whoa. What? Lose? So, basically...
So, you don't have a vagina, you don't have a clitoris. Like, no orgasming, it's just a pee hole. Would you rather be 200 pounds on top of what you are right now forever? With no chance of getting rid of it. Jesus. I'm going to have to be hella shallow right now and be like, goodbye, sex organs. Like,
you can still touch my boobies.
Yeah, you can touch the boobies. You get to make out. Like, sometimes
you still have a mouth. You can still at least help somebody else out.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's not even a matter of being like, I don't want that to not be hot. It's like, I just don't think, especially for like my body type and the stuff I want to do.
It doesn't work.
I don't think it would work for me being like 5'4" and 300 pounds. Like, power to you if you can, or if that's like how you are, but that just doesn't sound like a...
It's, for our line of work, it's not possible.
Oh, absolutely not, yeah.
And then even in the connotation of sex, I feel like, at least for me, I'm already, like, I feel like it would make the whole encounter probably more difficult, at least for mm-hmm. me.
No, absolutely, yeah, I feel you.
So I'm going to say I lose my sexual organs.
I can't believe I'm saying it too. God damn it.
Maybe that would be the one time when we're like, you know what? Butt stuff.
Butt stuff. You're right.
Would you rather have sex with your cousin in secret or not have sex with your cousin, but everyone thinks and says that you did?
Depends on the cousin. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's hot cousins. Everybody's got one hot cousin.
Is this like an actual cousin? Because I have
first cousin.
It says first cousin?
Actual first cousin.
That's disgusting. No, I don't want to say. I wouldn't. That's just gross.
Well, does it mean you're getting pregnant? Okay, it's just tough because then it's like if you did it once and you're like nobody ever finds out and then you're like, okay, that was wrong or whatever. Who knows what those circumstances are. But you could not have sex with your cousin. And then
no,
everybody is like, oh no, they definitely did. And there's no way for the world to not think that you fucked your cousin. I'd rather just fuck my cousin and people not be saying that I did. You know?
But that's interesting because that means you care more about what people think than about yourself.
But what if the cousin's really hot?
But that's not a different story. So let's say that the cousin's not hot.
Oh!
How many hot first cousins do you have?
One.
Oh, fair enough.
Everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. I had the conversation with some of my friends back in Florida where we were like, all right, everyone, raise your hand if you got a first cousin that confused you. And everybody's hands went up.
I definitely don't have a first cousin that confused me, but I think I had like a second or third cousin that was very confusing.
Oh, boy. It's tough. But I mean, like, these are people also that I don't know how often you were around your family. Like, I wasn't that close to my family. So I've still only seen them twice in my life. I don't know. That one's really fucking tough.
I think this is a really easy one. Don't fuck your cousins. That's just a me thing. Like, I don't care what someone said. Like, I know I didn't fuck this person, and that is a win for me.
Fine.
I'm just saying.
I agree.
Fine. So upset. So salty.
Fine. I don't actually want to fuck my cousin. It's just like, in our line of work, it's really tough for the entire world to be like, up your Twitter's ass. Like, oh my God, you fucked your cousin. Like, I know that you fucked your cousin. And you just have to be like, you gotta, like, just fucking think whatever you want, I guess. But then, like, it could cost you, like, the love of your life or a relationship. Mm-hmm. Just, oof. It's tough. Whatever. We're not fucking our cousins here. Not on this day.
Not on this day.
Would you rather get explosive diarrhea every time you meet your boss or every time you meet your significant other's parents? Obviously my boss.
Yeah, boss.
Yeah.
I already do.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll shit up a storm in front of you.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, wowee.
Easy. Easy peasy.
This one, I'll just read, because I saw this one when I pulled it up. I'm like, well, this is easy for us, but let's try to stand in a guy's shoes. Okay. Would you rather have no penis or five penises? Five? I was like, probably five.
Right?
Imagine getting five blowjobs at once, like peeing and
typing. Well, it depends. Is it like a hermaphrodite situation where like the few of them don't work? Do they all work? If they all work, then I mean, I guess it would definitely be a little confusing, but still kind of fun. Right? Like, woo.
Damn. Would you rather give or receive a lap dance? I'd rather give one.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather give one. I don't know. Not on my boyfriend. I'd be so self-conscious. Like, he probably could give a very killer lap dance. And I'd be like, oh, you know.
Yeah, you know what? No, I'd rather give one. Because then you get to, like, do the lights low and do, like, a disco ball. And you're like, ah. And they're not going to be sitting there judging you like, wow, her jeté was terrible. Like,
her tour jeté was out of this world. Killer. I hope she... Wow, she looks so fat when she's twerking. I hate her.
Oh, no.
I hope so.
Would you rather have knives for fingers or penises for fingers? Penises! I'd probably get a lot more done with knives for fingers. But imagine if you go like, like too fast and you just slice your entire face away.
I guess penises.
I guess I'd rather have knives. It's like Edward Scissorhands. Every time you have sex, it takes one day off of your life. How much sex do you have? That's not a would you rather, but that's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, the weird thing about that is, like, you don't know when you're going to die. So it's like, if you live to be 100, I'm going to have as much sex as I want.
Yeah. Take me down early.
Yeah, whatever.
The cat's just, like, chomping on her. And then licking, and then chomping.
She's very scary. I do love her.
She's an upsetting creature. She truly is. Okay! Evie, like, why? Why do we play these games?
Yes.
Would you rather smell terrible but you can't smell it, or your partner smell terrible and you have to smell it?
Wait, you smell terrible but you can't smell it?
Yeah, so pretty much you stink and your partner has to suffer through it, or your partner stinks and you have to suffer through it?
Partner stinks and you have to suffer through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't be told I smelled that bad. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, right.
Would you rather have sex with Megan Fox having a penis or Tom Hiddleston having a vagina?
With who's the first one?
Megan Fox has a dick. Tom Hiddleston has a vagina. I would definitely fuck Megan Fox.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom Hiddleston, which so many people debate about because everyone's so into him as Loki, and I'm like...
No. I definitely think he's hot as Loki, but I'm not... No. He seems real pretentious.
Yeah.
Megan Fox is hot.
She's hot. She's just undeniably hot. She's nobody, so hot. Anyone who says she's not hot is wrong or lying.
Yeah.
Or dead. It's fine.
Or doesn't know who Megan Fox is.
Maybe they haven't seen her. I love how they tried to make her so unattractive. Like, someone tried to humanize her. They put out a picture of her as a 5-year-old with, like, a unibrow and gaps in her teeth. And I'm like...
She's still hot.
If anything, look how much hotter she got. Like, man, she came even farther from being a little nerdy kid. We're all loser kids.
Young Megan Fox.
Yeah. She's got a little unibrow. Oh, I see.
She's like still a cute kid though.
She's just a kid, like a little baby ruboo. She's a little kid.
But she was hot. I mean, like, I'm seeing pictures where she was obviously like an early teen, and she's just like dead set.
Oh yeah, even in the Mary-Kate and Ashley movie she's in, she is just gorgeous, and that's before she dyed her hair, before she got a nose job, like all that shit. She is just filthy hot. Can't just even stand
unbelievable.
It.
Unbelievable. God, what's it like? Anyway.
Would you rather have your body found on a pile of sex toys or a pile of drugs? That's a pretty good one. Both are embarrassing in their own way. I guess I'd rather my parents toys. Be like, yeah, like, I guess she's funny. Fucked herself to death. Here's one for us!
Yes.
Would you rather get wasted and kiss your ex, which we're going to assume is recent ex, so... Or fuck your best friend. I would say, like, if you have a dude best friend or, like, a close friend that's a guy. Yeah, I would definitely kiss my ex.
Yeah, I feel you. Kiss an ex. It's not saying, like, make sweet love to the ex.
Yeah. Bear his take children. Him back into your life.
Bear his children.
Mm, yeah. Would you rather have your latest love interest watch you sing karaoke while drunk or dance while drunk? Well, you're never drunk, so this doesn't matter.
I'm never drunk, but also, like, I'm happy to be embarrassed in front of my boyfriend for anything. I'm always embarrassed in front of him. It's, like, a consistent
thing. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't
matter. I don't know how to not be. I'm nonstop embarrassing.
Would you rather bite your boyfriend on the dick during oral or knee him in the balls during sex?
A gentle bite? I mean,
I would say probably the bite.
Yeah, the bite I'd prefer. I mean, because you can really hurt someone's nuts. I mean, kind of a, oopsie, you know.
Oh, yeah, balls are so sensitive.
A little nibble.
Just so sensitive.
A gentle nib.
Mm-hmm. What, this is, oh. Okay, and I'll only preface it with, if you break it, it can be fixed, theoretically. Oh. Would you rather sprain your ankle during sex or break your partner's penis? I know somebody who's actually had their penis broken.
I still say sprain your ankle, because you can still, like, kind of get around that.
Yeah. You get fucking piggyback rides.
You know, yeah, exactly.
You get piggyback rides.
Piggyback rides.
Aw, and for funsies, we'll go out on this one. Would you rather have an intense makeout session with a teddy bear or a poster? Probably teddy bear.
Teddy bear, at least you can hold it.
Yeah, and if it's a puppet, you can work that mouth.
Oh.
Okay. Poster, you got nothing. You have to cut a hole in it. You're gonna get paper cuts.
Like, yeah, that's all I'm saying. Plus, you ruin the poster. You can make out with the bear and still maintain the integrity of the bear.
You totally can. And to think, it could be a bear that means a lot to you.
A bear
in the woods that just means absolutely everything to you. Fuck yeah! So be sure to check us out next week when we are reading Abraham Lincoln, Presidential Fuck Machine. Be sure to check us out on our website, snatch22podcast.com. Like us, follow us on all social media, subscribe to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, all that good stuff. And you can even find me and Tati on Instagram. You can find our info on the website. But until next week, thank you so much for checking out Snatch 22 Podcast. I'm Croy.
And I'm Tatiana.
See you next week. Be sure to come for the books.